Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Competition
in other places. Barry Wickstrom Outdoors is brought to you in part by Jack's Outdoor Gear. They've been helping people have fun for 65 years. You know, if you're fishing, hunting, kayaking, camping, or one of my favorite things, grilling, they've got everything you need. Let's go right to the phones. Joining us from Colorado Parks and Wildlife is Travis Duncan. Good morning, Travis.
Hey, good morning, Terry.
Hey, Travis, you know, I don't think anyone could have imagined the influx. When I was talking to you earlier, I guess you can say influx into the outdoors, but the number of people that, because of the lack of travel, sports, going out opportunities, have turned to the outdoors, which we love. That's what our careers have been about, is getting people outdoors and helping them enjoy it. But some places have been getting a lot of use that depend on other sources of funding that maybe the people using them haven't been contributing to, and we really need to maintain those. So the Parks and Wildlife passed a regulation that went into effect the first of this month that affected state wildlife areas and some state trust lease lands. Tell us about that new regulation.
Definitely. So April 30th, at a virtual commission meeting, Colorado Parks and Wildlife Commission passed a new rule saying that all folks visiting our state wildlife areas and state trust lands have to have a hunter or have to have a hunting or a fishing license, a valid hunting and fishing license to legally be on that property. So just as if you enter a state park, you need to have that state park pass or that day pass, that annual pass that gets you in there and helps maintain that area. Folks who are visiting our state wildlife areas need to have that hunting or fishing license to legally be there. And that started July 1st.
Now, I think a lot of people are confused. I'm not going there to hunt. I'm not going there to fish. I don't think they understand why these wildlife areas were first brought about and what it takes to maintain them. Why were they created? Kind of give us a quick history of why were state wildlife areas created in the first place and how are they funded?
Definitely. So state wildlife areas are acquired using hunter and angler dollars for the express purpose of conserving wildlife habitat and providing wildlife-related recreation. So these lands were identified by Parks and Wildlife as being valuable for wildlife for some reason, and it varies by property to property, but it might be because it's great for fish, or might be because it's great for elk, or bighorn sheep rest there part of the year, and so they really need to make sure that area is not developed so that we continue to have wildlife on the landscape in Colorado, which is a great thing. And we want to make sure folks know what those state wildlife areas are and what they're for. And each property has a different purpose. It's in a different part of the state. And so I encourage folks, if they do know of a state wildlife area, to make sure they know what it's for, to go on CPW's website, find our SWA finder and look it up. Each sheet has, maps and what recreation is allowed there, and it's mostly hunting and fishing. The land was acquired for hunting and fishing, and so we encourage folks, if they are going there, to make sure they have a hunting and fishing license and be aware of what animals are being protected there, so you're not engaging in activities that maybe that property wasn't acquired for, isn't maintained for, and you're not having a detrimental effect on our wildlife.
No, and a lot of people, They just go, they're innocently looking for places to recreate now. They're paddle craft, they're walking their dogs, they're just going for a hike, they're bird watching. And they kind of feel like, well, why should I have to pay to be here? It's public land. Well, I think you did a great job of, it is public land, but it's public land that's been set aside for special use, and it takes money to maintain that. And the North American model of conservation, all the game management, really, for the most part, is paid for by hunters and anglers through their license fees. Now, people might come and say, well, why can't you just charge me a small fee? I'm only going there to hike and watch the birds. But that doesn't work, does it?
It doesn't work on state wildlife area lands because of the way the funding for those properties works, and it's part of that North American model. So these lands are acquired and maintained using hunting and angler dollars, and that's a large part of how Colorado Parks and Wildlife is funded, is through those dollars. But if we have tried it's actually called the habitat stamp, on some of these properties to access. The idea was that it could be like a wildlife viewing license, but the problem that happened was that we lost the amount of federal monies back from the government through excise taxes on those hunting and angling licenses. So we were losing the same amount of money from those federal monies that we were charging. So there was no net gain. In fact, probably a slight loss from actually implementing a program to take folks' money, you know, as the wildlife viewing pass. So that's why the commission, after looking at a lot of other options or trying to figure out if there was another option, decided that, you know, having a hunting and or fishing license made the most sense. That's what these lands were acquired and put aside for. That's how they're maintained. That actually gets us the money we need to maintain the lands.
And I think you made a great point about the matching funds. I want to make sure people understand that when fishing and hunting gear is sold, there are excise taxes. That money is part of a couple different bills that were voted on years ago, goes back to the states and to the federal government to maintain fishing and hunting recreation. And when you, what they do is it comes in matching funds to the Colorado, and Colorado is very restricted in how they can spend the wildlife money. They can't spend it like just on state parks. It's separate. And by charging people a different fee to use the wildlife area, they actually deducted that, not just didn't match it, but deducted it from the amount of matching funds you got. So that became an issue. What about people? We only got a couple minutes left, but what about people that say, hey, I'm only launching my boat there, that I'm going down river, or I'm just walking through on a hike?
Right. The message we're definitely trying to share with folks is that all recreation has an impact on our wildlife, on our lands, and these areas specifically. So if you're on a state wildlife area, whether or not you happen to be hunting or fishing that day, you're having an impact on the land there. Whether, you know, you just put in your boat or whether you're on a connecting trail, you're still on that landscape that's been put aside for wildlife. And so we're asking folks to purchase that hunting or fishing license and participate in making sure we're able to keep those lands open.
Now, we're out of time, but one other subject I wanted to really make sure we hit on was dogs. A lot of these, if dogs are allowed, they have to be on a leash. You really have to be careful of that because they, you know, dogs running around can really disrupt wildlife. And in a lot of places, dogs aren't allowed at all. Is that right?
Right. Dogs are a real problem with wildlife. They you know, seek to bark at those animals or, you know, interfere with those animals. And especially with larger animals like moose, moose consider dogs a natural predator each year. We have issues with folks who had their dog off leash. The dog went after the moose, and then the moose went after the dog. And where does the dog go when it's being chased by the moose? It comes straight back to the owner, and the owner ends up getting hurt by the moose. It's a bad idea, really, to take your dog to a state wildlife area, and especially to take it off leash when we know these areas are set aside for wildlife habitat.
We are out of time, Travis, but thank you so much. I hope people understand. We want you to use these areas. Just make sure you have a proper license so we're getting the monies to maintain them. Travis, thank you so much.
Thank you, Terry.
You bet. Travis Duncan, Parks and Wildlife. This segment was brought to you by Jack's Outdoor Gear. If you've just never been in one, go walk through one of the stores. Five locations from Cheyenne down through Lafayette. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to address the spearfishing controversy here in Colorado for the next half hour on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.